Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you'll silence them now, it's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We appreciate it. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner Gilman's unable to attend the meeting today, so it'll just be McGuffey and myself. Moving along now to item number 3, this is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for July the 18th, 2017. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, can I get a motion for approval?
I'll make a motion to approve today's agenda for July 18th, 2017.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this date. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion and possible action. This is approval of the minutes for June the 6th, 2017. Do you have any public comment regarding the minutes for June the 6th? Hearing none, I get a motion for approval.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for June 6, 2017.
I'll second your motion. Moved and seconded to approve the minutes for June the 6th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 5. This is the consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion for approval.
It's amazing it went to triple F this time, huh?
Yeah.
Jeez. I'll make a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
All right. I'll second your motion. Moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action to public comment. These are committee and staff reports. So we'll start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing today.
Thank you, Sheriff. The other side of the room, over at, I think he's on the side. No, he moved back. At the Community Chest and Library, Sean Griffin, anything to report today, Sean?
Good morning, Sean Griffin, Community Chest. Just a quick update. They're finishing the forms today, and they're going to pour the stem walls and slab early Thursday morning, early Friday morning, so if you want to see something pretty cool, come. It's called a unipour. They're going to do the whole thing at one time, and that will prevent the building from shifting in the event of an earthquake, or at least shifting radically. Metal structure should go up two weeks after that, so it's not too far along, not too far before you begin to see something like a building over there.
Right.
The summer program's going great. They had so many kids yesterday. Michael Lyon had to leave to go be on the field trip. So things are flying. We're doing great.
That's good. Congratulations.
All right.
Thanks, John.
You know, it takes 2 to 3 weeks for the footings to set before they can start erecting?
They have to set for about a week. Yeah. The metal building is on a specific schedule. They fabricate it for us, and then they send it out, and we can get it in. As you know, because of the construction industry right now, everything is back down. So we're in line, but we're pushing them hard.
All right. We're moving forward.
It's going away. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Looks like we're blessed with the attendance of the assessor today. Jenna, do you have anything to report today?
Nothing at all. I'm well.
Okay. All right. Communications Director, Mr. Ballard.
Nothing to say. Thank you.
Or Community Relations, Sherry Neman.
Good morning, Sherry Neman for the record. A couple things we've been working on. We continue to work feverishly with FEMA to work through the disaster recovery process. With Dean's retirement, we've kind of had to step into some roles here and kind of push things forward. So between Joe and I, Jennifer, Tracy, Sarah, and then Jesse and I working through insurance, I'm hopeful we'll get to where we need to be. It's a process. I don't imagine we'll see our money from FEMA within the next year. It may be up to 3 years, but we'll get there. So they're working with us. We obtained some additional grant funds to fix the both the north and south side of this building, the crumbling stucco that was put over the bricks at one time. Just got word on that yesterday. So we have until September 15th, so it's going to be a pretty quick process. We'll be using Dick Wellhouse to get that work done for us. There'll be some stucco repair and then repointing of some of the bricks that are in bad condition. Also, they granted us some money to help out the Fourth Ward School with putting some anchors on their roof. That's a project that they've been trying to get done, so we were able to help them out with upwards of about $20,000 in grant funds. So they're very appreciative of that, and we'll get that moving forward. We have the bid opening for the sewer phase 2 on Friday morning at 10 a.m. at the Far West office. Fingers crossed, things will come in within budget this time, and we'll be back before you on October 1st to hopefully approve the bid to the successful contractor. I don't want to steal the sheriff's thunder, but WeCare has scheduled their national night out for August 1st at the Louise Perry Park in Lockwood starting at 5 o'clock. We have also scheduled a couple of sessions related to powers of attorney, scams, and other important legal tidbits. RSVP Rural Elder Law Program is doing that for us. The first session will be here in Virginia City at the Senior Center on August 10th from 11 to 2. The second session will be in Lockwood on August 11th from 11 to 2 as well. So that's all I have for today.
Very good. Any questions for Sherry?
No, I just want to say thank you for helping with the Fourth Ward School getting those roof anchors.
Absolutely.
Make it more economical for repairs and access.
Certainly, yeah. It's always a pleasure working with Laura. So.
And for those of you who don't know, these are anchors so that construction guys, roofers, or guys working on the site can tie off to in a safe manner. So they'll be there permanently. We'll always have some kind of anchor point for them to hang from. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Director of Security, Melanie Keenan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fire Department, Chief Nevin.
Good morning. For the record, Jeff Nevin, Fire Chief. As you've probably all noticed, fire season has kicked off with a bang since about the last week of June. I think there's been a fire in the state or in the region every single day, most notably the large fires that we've had to the north of us. We've assisted upon sitting engines, dozers, any resources that they've asked us that we've been able to afford, we've sent to. We've had resources in Utah, Arizona, and most recently we sent an engine to Idaho yesterday to the McCall area to assist them with the fire they have up there. Over a dozen fires since that June 27th date that we've assisted on. You know, not all of those there's been more that we haven't been to, but, you know, we'll lend a hand with it wherever we can. Most of these have been caused by shooting, target shooting, practicing, working with the DA's office to try and find some resolution or put some teeth into it so we can put a hold on that type of stuff in the county in the futures so that we don't run into the same problems that the other counties have run into. The Forest Service in the Carson Ranger District has actually put a ban on any type of outdoor target shooting in their area of responsibility. So something we may be able to look at in the future. Going down the list, the fireworks this year were very successful. We had one very small fire just below the launch area. It was picked up quickly and did not interfere with the show whatsoever. I've heard no complaints and only accolades for the show itself. It was well attended and there was a lot of people in town and the fire department had no issues whatsoever. So, any questions?
Yes. Do you have any kind of campaign going to clear some of this cheap grass? It's everywhere. You know, if you just drive up the street a block, it's knee high or maybe waist high in some spots. Even in the highlands, it's so much water, it's just grown so high, but it's all dead now. and it's not going to take much to ignite it. So I just wonder if your summer crews are out weed eating, knocking it down, or doing anything about that. Or
we've talked about it. We do what we can. A lot of it's up to the residents. I know the county lands that it went from green to dead overnight, it seemed like. Unfortunately, it gets a little hairy if we introduce any, you know, mechanical or hand tools into that. If you, create a spark from a Pulaski or a kick a rock off with the weed eaters, that we could be in the position we're trying to prevent. So we are looking at it, and we will try and do something with that as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chief. All right. For the Director of IT, James Dean?
Hi,
thank you. With the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing is fine, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Littles.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager Whitten.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to ask Mr. Gallagher if he's going to address ASA 400 today.
I think that's...
It's on the agenda?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. Somewhere. Okay. It's on number 12, Jeff.
12.
Okay. Okay, clerk, Ms. Beckles? Nothing today? Okay. That concludes item 6. We'll move on now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action to public comment. Vice Chairman McGuffey.
Okay. About the only thing I really want to comment on today is that we just had our Comstock Classics car show from the local car club, our 5th annual, and it was a big success this year. We kind of got caught off guard with the number of cars. We ran out of food, which we've never done before. We're usually giving it away at the end. So it was a very good show, and it sounds like it's going to get bigger. I think once we tied up with Hot August Nights, got on their calendar of events, it's taken off. So, we filled up the baseball field. We had to actually park on the infield diamond and all that. So we're going to have to start thinking about parking or limiting the number of cars. One of the
wow. Other.
Well, that's a good pain.
It's a good problem to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jack. The only thing I have is since we don't have our director of tourism here today, is I'd like to comment on the 4th of July, since we canceled our regularly scheduled commissioners meetings on that Tuesday, is that a huge success for Virginia City, very well attended, a parade that lasted well over an hour, outdoor concert, fireworks, extremely family friendly. This is the time. This is a holiday, probably right next to the Christmas on the Comstock, or greater than that, where the participation of children in Virginia City is just phenomenal. And you never see so many children as you do on the 4th. And a very patriotic weekend, everyone dressed up in their red, white, and blue color. So it was very festive. Everyone had a good time. I don't think the sheriff had any problems with the crowds. And they were huge crowds, too. And his staff, I worked with his deputies that weekend, or that day, on that Tuesday, and they did a phenomenal job with traffic control and the things that were necessary, because we had to close the street for the outdoor concert. And of course, getting all of these vehicles out of town after the fireworks was a little bit of a challenge, too. But I think it went off without a hitch. And so my congratulations to all of those who went ahead and participated and were involved in putting on the event. Moving up next, it gives me pleasure to introduce, I'll start back on this. It's discussion only. We'll take no action on this, but I'm going to introduce Mike Kazminski. He's President and CEO of Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, also known as EDON. He's been captain of the ship for a long time now. He's the man in the know. He's the guy out there bringing development to our neck of the woods, and he occasionally has an op-ed in the Reno newspapers, if you care to read those. He's here today to give us a presentation, so Mike, thank you for being here today.
Mike Kazmierski, President CEO of EDON, Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, and thank you, commissioners and and team here for the opportunity to give you a quick update. And certainly you see what's going on in this region. It's pretty exciting. And I just want to go through some numbers and talk about why it matters to Story County and kind of what we're doing, because sometimes you see a little bit of it in the news, but you don't realize behind the scenes all the things that are going on. I do want to start by thanking Pat Whitten and the team here, which is truly first class. When we have work to be done in this region, it is a breath of fresh air, if you will, to be able to work with government in a way that is collaborative and responsive and professional, and we don't always get that kind of support and that kind of professionalism. So a personal thanks to Pat and the team that you have assembled here, because it does make our job as the Regional Economic Development Agency that much easier. A lot of this, so I'm going to go through it fairly quickly and give you some time for questions. We focus on three areas: attracting companies, and that's what makes the news. But retaining companies and workforce is more important than ever now, and we put significant energy into that area, and ultimately entrepreneurial growth. And you're starting to see more and more of that. The entrepreneurial growth, the startup growth, the allowing people to grow their own business is becoming increasingly important, and ultimately, I believe, is the most important part of the economic development stool. Next slide, please. We talked about attraction, retention, entrepreneurial growth. Community development is critically important, too. You've got to have a community that people want to come to, and that community has to have the resources and has the infrastructure so that when a company comes, its people can live, they have a place to stay, they can get to and from work. There's plenty of other resources to help them be successful. And then workforce development has become increasingly important. We have run out of people. I mean, it may not seem like that, but our unemployment rate's gone, and you'll see a couple of charts here from 14% to below 4% in the region. What that means is if we're not attractive to talent, eventually the companies will have to stop coming because they won't be able to get the workforce here. Next slide, please. Our attraction focus has been on getting companies to visit. And we continue to hit the mark. 8 to 10 is our target. If we can get a company to visit 8 to 10 a month, we're going to have more jobs than we know what to do with, which is kind of where we are. You can see the last several years, we've been in an 8 to 10 range. Tesla certainly has been a factor, but you can see even 3 years before that, we were having fairly significant success. So that 8 to 10 number is important. We had 2 prospects in our office today. We had 12 prospect visits last month, so anyone that says it's slowing down doesn't really know what's going on, because it's not. In fact, it's probably picking up, especially since summer is usually quieter. Next slide, please. When you get the visits, you get the jobs. And you can see each year that we've increased prospect visits. Our job numbers have gone up. This fiscal year ended at the end of last month. We had a record year, over almost 3,300 new primary jobs in the region. A number we've never achieved before. And we fully expect, based on what's in our pipeline, to exceed that number or be darn close to it this coming year. Next slide, please. The projects that came to Story County this past year, you can see fairly large job count there. And that's what happens is larger companies and companies that have more of a footprint tend to look at Story County because of the land availability. The smaller companies, the office companies, tend to be more in the metro area. If you look back over the last several years, over 30 projects that we've worked on have landed in Story County. So pretty exciting connection here. You're an important part of our ecosystem, and obviously TRI is an important component that we use to sell this region. Next slide, please. Pending announcements, these are just for the region. In some cases, they may or may not have decided on location. We fully expect these 1,000 jobs to announce in the next 90 days. In fact, that 1,400 will announce next week, softly, and with the governor the first 2 weeks of August. Pretty exciting company there, a tech company. We're seeing more and more technology come to the region, which is kind of what we expected when we focused on advanced manufacturing, because advanced manufacturing has a lot of robotics and a lot of technology. So the more you bring advanced manufacturing, the more you kind of backdoor the technology needs of the region and bring more and more of that in. Next slide, please. And then our hot prospect list, we're working with about 150 companies right now. You can see there, those are companies we have vetted. They've been here. We've talked to them. They have given us feedback to say basically we're at the top or in the 1-2 of their list. We fully expect to land most of those companies. And Below that are another 140 companies that we are working with in varying stages of interaction, and it really is a slow process. In fact, you know, we had the announcement here recently, quiet announcement in TRI of the Google purchasing land. Most people don't realize as we go back into the EDON records, we've been working on and off at Google now for 8 years. And so you realize some of these projects take a long time before someone even makes a decision. And once they make a decision on pieces of it, then it may take another couple of years. So this is a process. These are the ones that are percolating to the top, and we fully expect these, you know, to have a great shot at those 3,000 jobs in addition to many others that we're working with right now. Next slide, please. Manufacturing. Exciting part of manufacturing is if we put that chart up there 5 years ago, manufacturing would have been zero. It was not a target industry for the state. We made it a priority, and it continues to be a strength of our attraction effort. We are starting to really become an advanced manufacturing hub for the West, and that is increasingly obvious in our prospect activity. Next slide, please. And this is a pretty good indicator. This is from the Bloomberg article that came out a couple of weeks ago. It talked about Silicon Reno Sparks, a new Silicon Valley piece, and I'm not a fan of the Silicon Valley message because I'm not sure we want to be Silicon Valley, but if you look at that and you talk about manufacturing, that's a pretty exciting growth in manufacturing where the rest of the country has been flat. Next slide, please. I mentioned Switch and Google. You guys know that better than we do. Clearly an exciting addition to the region, and they are continuing to add. In fact, they just announced another 1,400 jobs. They're going to ramp up pretty quickly, and certainly with the M3 that they're building components of there, more and more activity is occurring there between Tesla, Switch, and Google, and we see that as a continuation going forward. We're just through the very beginning stages of that growth. Next slide, please. So it's not all about attraction. I'll touch on retention, workforce, and entrepreneurial in a minute, but just some key community issues, a few that may be of importance to Story County. Effluent water, we have worked with commission through the state. Leo Drosdorf, he's working with the municipalities to help set up a plan to get additional water to Story, to Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. That is working its way through. There are some... First of all, it's not a done deal. Second of all, I've had to go back to the state personally and ask for additional funding, which we'll support as well, to continue Leo's contract because that is yet to be tightened up. There's still more negotiation and interaction on that issue. We are 100% behind finding a solution that works for all parties, and we'll continue to push in that area. And then you're probably pretty aware of this if you've been on the interstate any time during rush hour, but the traffic on I-80 has gotten much worse. And when you think about the fact that we got 6,000 or 7,000 workers at the industrial center now, and there's an expectation, I think a realistic one, that we'll be over 20,000 out there in the next 5 years, that traffic is going to become a nightmare. So we're starting to work that issue. I was, in fact, in the office of the director of transportation on Friday, and I can tell you there is no plan to fix that right now. So that may be an issue that Story County raises or starts to look at in some detail, because at some point that highway is going to turn into a parking lot, and it will affect the entire region. And so we want to work on it. We'll just let you know that's one of the issues that we're taking on now as we look at how do we address the needs of TRI from a transportation perspective. Funding for school infrastructure. Oh, by the way, USA Highway will be a nice addition, but it may add a couple of thousand of that 20,000 that we'll have to move to TRI. Certainly not solve the problem. And it's a piece of a solution that we, I think, collectively want to work on, because when you talk about highway funding, and we have someone in this room that knows that issue very well, you're talking what could be years or decades to get the funding to do something like widen the interstate or add additional access to TRI. So it's an issue we want to look at now because it's going to take us years to get it done. Funding for school infrastructure is something we worked on. We're pretty excited about the 15 new schools that will be in the region in Washoe County. That's the one that we worked as a part of the team to get done. downtown revitalization. Our downtown, when I say our, the Reno Sparks downtowns are very important when you start to attract technology companies and the workforce that will fill many of the jobs that we're attracting to the region. So we see that as one of the areas, our weak link as a region, something that we're trying to put more energy on. Arts and culture, again, part of that new generation of workforce we're attracting. We have an arts and culture, arts and business event scheduled in September that we encourage you to join us for. And in the housing crisis, I think most people know we've run out of housing. So it's an issue that we have, we're working on many different angles. So those are just some backdoor things we're working on in addition to the basic economic development focus. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thanks. BR&E and workforce, business retention and expansion. Nancy McCormick has been out to visit every company at TRI. She knows the CEOs by name. They call her when they have a problem. They've been calling her a lot about traffic, by the way, and workforce, so should be no surprise there. But she does, and her team works to help them be successful. Next slide, please. I mentioned the workforce piece. We're at or close to full employment at this point. Next slide, please. From a workforce development side, so if we run out of workforce, what do? We got to upgrade the talents of the workforce we have. There are a lot of people we're getting together to help solve the development piece. How do we train our workforce to do more and, oh, by the way, get paid more as well? Next slide, please. And then attraction. We've got quite a few campaigns to make people aware that there are job opportunities here, and certainly it's important that we message the opportunities here as we message the quality of life as well. Next slide, please. Finally, in entrepreneurial success, if you look at this growth, it doesn't sound like a big number. Oh, wow, 121 new jobs in the startup area for an entire year. But those are 67 new companies, and obviously some are onesies and twosies. If we get those companies to grow, any one of those companies could be 1,000 people 10 years from now. Next slide, please. Some of the initiatives, PitchBook is a connection to the community. VentureBeat is a conference we have scheduled in September that will bring 500 tech executives to the Reno Sparks area. Very important opportunity to connect even more securely with the Silicon Valley and Bay Area. Next slide, please. And then just some of the companies we've attracted on the very small entrepreneurial side and helped grow from an organic perspective. And again, helping companies start from an idea and turn into an actual workforce is not an easy thing. And we have a team working on that, Doug Irwin and his team, and they do a very good job. Next slide, please. This is a pretty good indicator of our success in that area. You look back over the last 5 years, the total for investment in our companies has been about $20 million. That's 5 years of investment. We're over $20 million already so far this year. So we've kind of turned that corner and are really starting to get people to invest in the companies that are growing in this region. Next slide, please. Growth is not going to slow down. Anyone that thinks that is, you know, I still hear this is a bubble. It's not a bubble. We've got sustainable growth coming. Manufacturing companies, the kinds of companies that will weather a recession very well. And we're 2 years into that projected growth, and every expectation is that we'll meet or exceed at least the 4% and as much as a 5% growth over the next 5 years. Next slide, please. And for those that were part of the EPIC report, and I know Story County was a participant, when we projected our five-year growth to the region of 50,000 jobs, I can't tell you how many people told me that I had gotten into the marijuana early. The actual number there seems to reflect that we are, in fact, at or exceeding that number. We're halfway through that five-year cycle, and we will probably stay on the trend or track we are now, if not accelerate. Next slide, please. So, again, thank you. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your involvement. You're an important part of the regional team, and if there's anything we can do to help you, certainly we will step in there and do that. And Pat and I have a great relationship, so we connect on a regular basis. Next slide, please. So any questions or comments for Edon?
Thank you for that, Mike. Do we know what the participation rate is from the college graduates that are coming out of the university system that are that are being retained by our companies and not moving out of state, because I think the number is somewhere around we have about 5,000 graduates each year now.
We have about 4,000 graduates. Our numbers 5 years ago were about 25%, 20-25% stayed in the region. Many left because they couldn't find a job. That number now is 75-80%. So we totally flipped the paradigm. We're retaining at least 3,000 of that 4,000 or somewhere in that ballpark. In addition, we're working closely with the Sacramento area. There are 8 institutions there of higher ed that we are personally visiting with and connecting with, and we want that to provide us opportunity for workforce as well. Those universities collectively add at least 8,000 more students to the region potentially. So that will help us on the engineering. We have a huge engineering need and some other things, so that will help us fill that need.
Now, in recent time, it's been noted that we have the lowest employment participation rate since the end of World War II. And a week or two ago, the stats were showing that we had good job increases, new jobs nationwide, but the unemployment rate had gone up, drawing some of these people who are no longer out of work, who had given up on seeking work, are actually coming back into the workforce or seeking work again. So is there any idea you have, even in our local market, how many of these people who had given up during the recession who are willing to come back into the workplace again?
We're working the marketing piece on that. In some cases, we just need them to know there are plenty of great jobs out there. There are opportunities for training. So in some cases, they think, well, I'm not qualified for that. We try and encourage them to get involved in many of the training programs we have. You can actually get a job at Tesla or Panasonic with a high school degree and 6 months of training. I mean, it doesn't require 4-year degrees. So we have a lot of opportunity. We're putting more and more money in the training side of that, so the people that are discouraged, we just want to get back on track because there are plenty of job opportunities.
Thank you. Jack, any questions?
I know NDOT is looking at the traffic. They have been for a while. It's kind of a dilemma. They're going to have to put a lot of money into fixing on-ramps and off-ramps. Because right now, I think you know, you've been out there, that they're too short. And you can get run over trying to get on the highway there. But I don't know if anything's been done in the park itself. Years ago I worked in the Reno Sparks industrial area, and a lot of companies went to different times of work hours so that everybody wasn't bottlenecked at 4 o'clock. So I don't know if that's being implemented or even tossed around at all, but that's something that...
You're exactly right, and about 6 months ago, Nancy and her team have been coordinating arrival departure times. We've had several companies that have gone to 4:10s, which allow them to shift their hours off the main peak times, and we're getting more and more of that. The traffic has inspired them, if you can imagine that.
Thank you. Great. Thanks, Mike. Did you want to field any questions for anyone in the audience?
If there's any questions.
We usually don't do that, but since Mike's given us his time today, if there's anybody in the audience who'd like to ask Mike a question, feel free to come up to the podium. And
if not, I'll be in back. You can grab me on the way out as well.
All right. Very good. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Moving along now to item number 9. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. Story County Federal Government Affairs Partner and U.S. Congressman of Nevada, retired Honorable John Porter, providing updates on federal matters of interest, including in general and specific to Story County, including H.R. 756, which is our postal reform bill, H.R. 2193, the remote transaction parity, and public lands conveyance to Virginia City, Gold Hill, and the Mark Twain areas. Congressman Porter is here today, along with his team, General Robert Herbert, and also Dan Maurer. So, Mr. Porter, would you like to come up and bring your team, give us the lowdown? Congressman Porter has been working with us for the last few years on these matters, and he's been involved in Nevada politics for almost all of his adult life, from councilman to mayor to the legislature, state senator, federal congressman, and now he's brought his team up here to help Story County. So you have the floor, Congressman.
Thank you, Chairman, and to the team. We appreciate being part of your family here at Story County. Commissioner, good to see you again.
And good to see you.
Pat, to you and your team. We had a great opportunity this morning to meet with staff at a couple different meetings this morning, which I think is very beneficial as we move forward. But before we get into specifics, and I'm sorry that Mike left. I know he had a lot to do. But a lot of the issues that Edon is talking about, and Mike, who is also, I think, a good friend of most of us here in the room, we are working closely with your sister cities and counties and closely with Mr. Kazmierski, with Edon, and a lot of these issues as we move into different funding sources, especially for the land transportation and or mass transit, we're happy to help, as we have been in the past, Story County, working with the other entities moving forward. And Mr. Kazmierski has done a great job in the team at Edon, but kudos to all of you for your efforts in helping create this environment here in Northern Nevada for job growth. So I guess a little bit more about our background, and you know, we're honored to be here to be part of the team. I'd like to say we're here from Washington and we're here to help you, but sometimes we have to stop and think about Washington, D.C. being 2,500 miles away. But the depth of background, I want to brag a little bit about the team that we've put together on your behalf. You mentioned Chairman Mr. Dan Maurer was with us. Dan and I have been working together for 7-8 years, seems like a lifetime. But Dan brings with him a background of strength, worked in the U.S. Senate for a number of years. Now, of course, works with us at the Porter Group. But an integral part of any legislation that passes through our office, whether we're involved in it or not, Dan is at the point. So most every issue that we're going to talk about today, and or regionally or statewide or nationally, Dan is at the point. And kudos to Dan. I think, Pat, we can talk a little bit more about Dan here in a moment, but he's a huge part of our team, and we're really proud of what he brings to the table. As you know, Washington, D.C., the swamp truly is a swamp in lots of different ways today because, of course, of the weather. But our goal is to make sure we have a strength of relationships with members of not only the Nevada delegation, which is critical, but also other states. So, again, Dan, at the lead, we work with members from all over the country to help Story County, and a lot of that is to Dan's credit. Also, you mentioned General Bob Herbert, active general in the Nevada National Guard, currently a one-star brigadier general, has been approved for his second star, which is a pretty big deal. We call him the General General now, right, Bob? Is that what it is? You know, to brag a little bit about Bob, and both these gentlemen are really pretty humble, but if you look at the strength of the team, the general for 20-plus years was the right hand for U.S. Senator Reid, majority leader, and whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it's what's best for Nevada. And we certainly wouldn't always agree politically with Senator Reid, but when it came to Nevada issues, the senator's leadership was integral for most every major project that we've had in Nevada, which means that Bob, the general, has been involved with those issues from transportation to land to education to highways, byways, planes, trains, and automobiles. The general brings the resource and the background and strength in the U.S. Senate. Not only is he well-respected here in Nevada by all parties in Washington, D.C., the general is very well thought of, especially in the U.S. Senate, where a lot of his friends still exist and are still there to this day. So the general started with us this spring, and we're really proud to have him on board. If we cut to the general thing for a moment, he's also the chief advisor to the four-star of the Department of Defense on all issues with the Guard nationwide, which means the world. No pressure, General. But what does that mean to Story County and both of these individuals? As I mentioned, with Dan's strength with the members and staff on Capitol Hill, again, including Nevada delegation, but beyond, plus the general's ability on the U.S. Senate, plus the structure and procedure, I mean, we have a team here that I'm very proud of, but also a family member of Story County. Porter Group is seven people. We have one person here in Nevada full-time. It's not unusual to have all seven of us working on your issues at a given time. because of the complexity of Washington today, and certainly with the turnover in the White House and administration, again, it's not unusual for all seven of us to be working directly on Story County issues. As you know, as a board, but for the community that's here today, there's seldom a day goes by we're not communicating with Story County in some shape or form. At a minimum, we have every 2 weeks, we do a meeting to walk through issues not only impacting federally the county, but we work, and when we can, we assist with issues in the region with other communities. We help, of course, the county with the legislature when need be, because my background as a city councilman and then as Nevada State Senator helps us, you know, bridge for those challenges that you have and with the governor's office. So our role is not specific just to the federal government. We're happy to help in all levels. And again, that's another reason why we're here today, is to share the message. So as a team, the seven of us, we've established really an office very similar to a congressional office, I guess, having been in office 25 plus years. We tried to build a network that is conducive to success with other members of Congress. And what we're proud of is that, again, not only is our strength within the Nevada delegation, and thanks to Dan and the general, we do our best to help train them on issues that are important to Story County. We reach out to members of Congress around the country, because there's been a major change after the last election. Again, I mentioned whether you're Democrat or Republican. With the loss of Senator Reid, we were very spoiled as communities and business in the state on Nevada-specific issues. We're now, we have, of course, Senator Heller, who I would say is a sophomore, still, you know, growing in his leadership. But not unlike anything that we do, seniority does matter, especially in the House of Lords and the Senate, where there's 100 separate egos in some shape or form, and even in the House of Representatives. So with Senator Masto, who's, again, doing a tremendous job, has been very helpful to Story County, she is a freshman. So there's certain restrictions and level of involvement with a freshman member of the U.S. Senate. Again, Senator Heller is moving up in majority and leadership, and is also doing everything he can to help Story County. But there is a void, so all the more reason we encourage that the community, the county of Story, remain active in Washington. We have two new members of the House of Representatives in Southern Nevada as well, literally have been on the job for about 6 months. We're fortunate to have Congresswoman Titus, a Democrat from Southern Nevada, who is also very in tune with Story County's issues. And, of course, last but not least, Congressman Amade. There is not a day that goes by we're not working with the Congressman's office on issues impacting Story County. And as you know, he's from just down the street, but his staff has been very dynamic, as has the Congressman. But our goal is to make sure that we continue to elevate the issues. The day in the life of a member of Congress, not unlike yours on the commission or even in your business, whatever your role, there are thousands of things that are tugging at members of Congress in the U.S. Senate. I hope you don't listen to TV or the radio. I hope you don't read the newspaper, because it'll drive you crazy. So many things happening. But can you imagine the day in the life of a member of Congress or the U.S. Senate? They're dealing with tens of thousands of emails in a given day, correspondence. They have meetings with constituents that are coming into Washington, D.C. They may be there 2 or 3 days a week because of logistics. Our role is to help cut through the noise and keep reminding our delegation of the priority, not that they don't want to, but they're dealing, again, with health care reform, education reform, international issues from Homeland Security, transportation issues. Again, we want to make sure that when we talk to our delegation, they know that Story is a priority, and our goal is to keep reminding them of such. A little bit about the environment, and then we're going to talk about some specific issues. It is an interesting time, to say the least, in Washington, and having been in this better part of my life, I've never seen anything like we're seeing today. And there's some good, there's some bad, and there's ugly. And I think that we're seeing that unfold, in the media. But there's a major disruption happening in Washington. Again, I don't need to tell you that because you're aware of it. But this disruption, in some respects, is good, but in other respects, it's causing a lot of confusion on behalf of members of Congress and the Senate, because a lot of the predictable steps and phases that would follow members of Congress and the Senate have been changing. Again, whether you like the president or not, he is disrupting business as usual. And, of course, there's a lot of people that like that, a lot of people that don't like it. The bottom line is our goal is to make it work. Whoever is in the White House, who's ever in the Senate, whether they're Democrat or Republican, again, our role is to try to make it work. And our goal is to be cutting edge on information flow. And as Pat, you and I have discussed, we have a new member of our, well, not new, he's been with us a couple of years. We're focusing now on the social media side. Best we can to track what's happening in the social media and then repeat and replay as necessary. But with this disruption, there's always a disruption when there's a new president, again, whether you're Democrat or Republican. Today, it's far more evident because of media, social media, and everything is one click away from what used to be a lot of filters. And I'm not here to judge, but I've been on the other end of fake news the better part of my political career, so it is real, but it has been around for 200 years. Again, our goal is to try to cut through that noise and make sure that we can help bring some thoughtful approach to your issues because of the disruption. There's a lot of staff positions that have not been filled in the administration yet, and I'm not here to talk the politics, DNR politics. It's just a reality. And some of the secretaries have been there about a day. So some issues have kind of screeched to a halt. Then you add, again, this has been happening for 200 years. It's just more evident today because it's far more transparent with technology. You have a lot of the former staff from a former administration that are still there with new secretaries and still not a whole lot of people home. Again, our goal is to make sure that the people that are home know what we're doing. I'd like to say that the president has this laser light, and he's shining it around. Some of you may have used a laser light with your cat or your puppy. He shines a light over here, and everybody rushes over here. And then he shines the laser light, and everybody rushes over here. And then he shines the light up there, and everybody rushes over here. Again, our goal, in concert with the Nevada delegation, is to make sure we become almost a fifth member of Congress, because our office is set up that way to help our delegation. So that's really a little bit about globally and environment. We're honored to be a part of the team. Lots we can talk about today. But I'd like to just take the next moment and introduce you to my staff and let them say a few words about policy and some things that we're working on your behalf. So, Mr. Maurer.
Well, good morning. This is my first time presenting to the commission, and I'm very honored to do so. I always love to come back to Virginia City. Street Vibrations is one of my absolute favorite events throughout the entire year, so anytime I can get back here, I'm very happy to do so. I just wanted to lead you through a couple of issue specifics that we're working working towards on behalf of the county. One is something that I hear quite a bit about from certain Commissioner McGuffey is a champion of this and staff as well as our postal reform efforts. We work regularly with staff from both Congressman Amade's office and the two Senate offices as well as House committees to get one uniform zip code for Story County. We know for a fact that it impacts everything from revenues, and we heard other issues today from staff during our morning meetings. It's a very important issue. Last year, we were very, very close to getting the bill across the finish line. Unfortunately, in the waning hours of the 112th Congress, politics reared its ugly head, and a senator from New England ended up holding up some of our bills, or our bill, and we weren't able to get it done, but a lot of that legwork we did last year paid off this year when our bill cleared the Oversight and Government Reform Committee in the House by March, which is almost unprecedented, the speed at which we were able to get the bill through committee this year. There still are two other committees in the House that need to act on the bill, the Ways and Means Committee and the Energy and Commerce Committee, because of policy provisions in the bill that touch on things like pensions and revenue generation. And so we do think that, feel that those committees will act on the bill shortly. They tend to, those two committees are very powerful. They have a wide jurisdiction. They are currently dealing with things such as health care reform and tax reform, international trade agreements, things like that. But our contacts, both on at the member level and at the staff level, they know that this is an important issue and bill for not only Congressman Amadei but for Story County. And so we continue to put pressure on them, and we feel optimistic we will get our poster bill done this Congress. Another one that we've been following is called the Marketplace Fairness Act, or which is the Senate bill, or in the House it's the Remote Transactions Parity Act. This allows localities to tax internet purchases. This is something that is another going to be an important revenue stream for the county. It was introduced last Congress. There hasn't been a whole lot of movement on it so far. We have 33 co-sponsors in the House, including Mr. Amadei, and 24 in the Senate, which is a quarter of the Senate is pretty impressive to have that many. So we are optimistic that this bill may get some movement this Congress. And so we routinely talk with not only Amadei, Heller, Masto office, but we do, as John said, bring in even some of the Southern Nevada members and let them know that this is an important issue statewide. Finally, the lands bill. We kind of take a two-prong approach on the lands bills. One, the Story County bill that previously passed, we're having a few issues with congressional intent at BLM. We are working through them via letter writing and via the congressman's office. But also a new lands bill is needed. We again heard from staff this morning on that as well. So one of the big hiccups we see with lands bills going forward is that our current Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, is not a fan, to say the least, of transferring public lands. And he is a big conservationist. He's a sportsman. And big land transfers from federal land transfers are not something that he is an advocate of, even though he's from Montana, and I don't understand that completely. But he has gotten into office, he's settled, and we do feel like we can work with him to get some lands bills through. As you may know, Washoe County is also working on a lands bill. Southern Nevada is working on a lands bill, as well as other localities throughout the country. So we will continue pressing that for a lands bill for Story County. BLM, we have to get somebody. There's an acting director in there. We need to get somebody home at BLM. But we are working through all of these. Regular communication, of course, with Pat, Mr. Chairman, and of course, Commissioner McGuffey, we talk often as well. So we will continue to communicate what's going on. That's just a quick overview, and I'm happy to take any questions related to those issue areas.
Okay. Dan, you said that our ZIP bill is basically at a stage where it's got two more stages to go through, typically, before the president, I guess. We were able to get that through those two stages last year, right?
So regular order would go through these other two committees in the House. At the end of last year, what's typical at the end of Congress is that we have what's called a Christmas tree, where there's one or two bills that are must act upon. And all members of all sorts tries to throw as much or as many issues onto these bills as possible.
Right.
We got our bill, the posted bill attached to one of those, and so it was fast-tracked through. Now, if we want to wait until the end of this Congress, which is in a year and a half, to do that, we can. We're trying to go through regular order, which is two more committees in the House. In the Senate, they do things differently. In the House, they refer to numerous. They refer a bill to numerous committees, depending on jurisdiction. In the Senate, they only give it to one. So once the House passes theirs, the Senate committee is well versed on this bill. They know all about it, and so we'll have that step as well. But we don't see that as a big speed bump.
Okay, there's a second part to my question. Is the other bill you have that you're keeping an eye on is basically the internet tax bill. Okay, so we would actually, it's a double-edged sword there because our zip code issue is the problem. So if we're going to have an internet tax, it's still going to go, taxes still go to Washoe or Lyon County because of the zip code. So they're basically tied together.
If I was a betting man, I would say that the postal bill will pass before the internet, the bill that will give you the opportunity to do that. But you're exactly right. In fact, we heard a lot from staff this morning, kind of those same concerns about, you know, depending on where it is, whether Story gets it or sometimes Washoe will get the revenues. But I do think the postal issue will be will get attention before the internet taxation.
Thank you.
And before Dan concludes, I know that Mr. Witten has an email that came from Congressman Amity's office really pointing out to the credit of Dan, all the work that he's done, correct?
Thank you, Congressman. I'd like to speak to that. I don't know if Dan even knew of this ever, but as we hit the finish line and hit the wall on last year's bill, just because of politics, as Dan has mentioned, what happens behind the scenes is this team and others on the Congressman's team are daily, actively, aggressively even working with congressional staff. Congressman Amadei's office had been very open to it, assigned a resource to us that we used Dan specifically to work closely with, and that's Stephanie Walker in the Congressman's office. Amongst many things she's doing, including public lands now, I learned this morning, Stephanie was their postal expert. Stephanie's email to me, I think, was priceless. It said, well, we didn't make it. And while it's disappointing, I want you to know, Pat, that I've never seen anybody in any consulting position, lobbyist position, partnership position, that has been as myopically dedicated and focused on getting this done as Dan has been for you. And I think that speaks volumes as to, you know, the results we're getting. I think the congressman asked earlier this morning, you know, I don't know how long the county's been trying to get this postal issue resolved, and the answer is pretty close to 20 years. You know, but we never even got on the dance floor until we engaged and had Dan's leadership in particular, you know, to get us at least a bill heard last year, and a bill that was heard in such a way that it really paved the way for where we are today much sooner in the process, you know, than we ever have before. So I am a betting man. If there was a line on it, I'd bet on it because it's going to get done and you're going to make it happen. So thank you.
I appreciate the kind words, Pat. And I do, I certainly understand the importance of the postal bill to Story County and the residents and the services the county can provide to those residents. And so I can guarantee you I'll be as dedicated as I have in the past to get this thing done.
Perfect. Jeremy, you know, I mentioned fake news earlier. I'm sure this was fake news. Right? but in fairness, Dan's done a great job. And I'd like to add that the efforts from the county for many years and certainly the efforts since we've come on board, you don't start over this session. In essence, it's compounded and the foundation's been built. The relationships with the committee staff and with the chairman of the committees, it is on everybody's radar. So, yes, we got really close to the finish line, and if you don't win, you don't win. But in the legislation, federal legislation, each of the steps compounds itself. We've reached out to other counties and cities around the country that have similar problems, so we now have a relationship. So it's not just a Story County issue that's broadening the support. But, again, with the efforts of Dan and yours, this is why I, too, am very optimistic. Anything can happen in this environment, but all that work doesn't go away. It's compounded, and I feel really good about the effort, so thank you.
Well, we know about Dan's his expertise in public policy, government policy, because he gives us a weekly or biweekly synopsis of the topics of Congress. He goes through the piles of paperwork, through the minutiae, and then gives us a synopsis of the highlights of what's going on, and we appreciate that. It keeps us in touch without having to read thousands of pages of documents. So it's great.
Well, I am a classic member or former member of Congress where I depend upon good people. And seldom a day goes by that I don't say, so Dan, what happened today? So again, thank you, Dan. I'd like to take this moment also then and introduce General Herbert. Again, I've said all the wonderful things about Bob, other than we've been friends for a long time, and his commitment to Story County has been 20 years of his life. So, General, you want to say a couple words?
I'll be real short. Chairman, Commissioner Pat, it's a pleasure to join the Porter Group. As you know, I just started with them in March. So, and that was, of course, as John alluded to earlier, 20 years with Senator Reed, working for him and helping Story County out in that position. So the way I look at this is I'm just transitioning from Senator Reed's office, working together with John to continue to be a part of the team in Story County and do what I can to help you guys out. So, and Commissioner, one thing I wanted to go back on that you were talking about on the legislation, I know it was fast-tracked last year, but when you're doing that kind of legislation, Dan's doing the right thing. You need to do process. You need to run it through the different committees and all that. Now, if it doesn't make it to the end, at least you've got an argument to put it on that Christmas tree and say, listen, we tried to do it through regular order. We ran out of time. Can you help us out? So it goes back to what John was talking about, too, is in my experience in the 20 years on the Hill, is that it takes sometimes a couple waves of an issue to keep coming back to those staffs, to those committee, and then finally they get it and they go, this is seriously important, it's not going to go away, so let's fix it. But anyway, I look forward to working with all of you, and thank you for giving me some time this morning.
And if I may, before the Congressman steps back in again, I want to just provide a little testimony and background for Bob, too. Sometime late last year, I think John called me and said, you know, we're thinking of strengthening the team. You can't say a word about this to anybody, but what do you think about Bob? And I was blown away. I will tell you that, you know, our efforts on the postal bill, and I think Dan would agree, it was a House bill last year. It's a House bill this year. So our efforts really are following that process that you guys have talked about and focused on the House. But at the same time, we knew that we were going to start needing Senate support and Senate engagement, you know, as the days of last session closed and hopefully as this one moves over. The person we turned to was Bob as Senate Majority Leader Reed's chief policy consultant and advisor. We went to Bob and Bob listened. And Bob helped pave the way. And I remember, again, in the closing days, you looking me in the eye at some meeting somewhere and saying, this is one of Senator Reed's top priorities, is to try to do everything to get it done. So it's amazing in the world of partisan politics and how ugly that gets, that that office, which was a very important office, and Bob's actions, which were critical to us, were a welcome port in a storm that had nothing to do with partisan politics. It was all about Nevada, and in this case for us, it was all about Story County. So thank you.
And Chairman, I have just a couple of things, and I'll conclude. I think moving into the rest of 17, moving into 18, on the political side, hang on to your hat. I think what we've seen so far this year is just the beginning of a campaign season, which never goes away anymore with technology. As you may know, Senator Heller will be one of the number one targets in the U.S. Senate because that's the nature of Nevada, because of a fairly evenly split state in registration. There will probably be $60-70 million, if not more, spent in that race. You may have seen that Congresswoman Rosen, who's in her first term and is very supportive, by the way, as she could be in a short period of time in Story County, has chosen to get into that race, and who knows who else, because registration, I think, closes in March of 18. But that race is going to be the number one race, which makes it, I hate to always go global, but in the world for the U.S. Senate seat. Also, we now have an open seat in Southern Nevada for a congressional member, Rosen, that's now running for U.S. Senate. We have a number of folks that are going to get into that race, and then also, there's another new member, Reuben Keelan, who is up for re-election, that also will be a major target. And the race for Rosen's old seat will be the top House race in the country. So once again, we're going to be a target. Again, turn off your television. But our role is to support the Nevada delegation on your behalf. And our goal is, again, to cut through the noise that you're going to hear and feel and see. Which brings me to my last comment. I've mentioned to you guys many times, my 10 years in city government were the most challenging and most difficult. 10 years in Boulder City, not just because it was Boulder, but local government. I applaud you and appreciate what you're doing. I know it's a tough job, and I was mentioning earlier, I still have people in Boulder City that really don't like me, and that's been 25 years ago. But today, if I just leave a little bit of political insight, today more than ever, there's more pressure going to be on local government on Story County because of the disruption in Washington. And I sense that you're going to be hearing a lot of angst from your constituents and members here of the community. So more than ever, there's pressure on you. But please know we're there to try to help. If you have constituents that have a federal issue, that we certainly won't get involved in the politics of it, but if we can help guide them to the people that are making the decisions, we're happy to do that. So with that, again, we're honored and proud to be here. Thank you. We're just happy to answer any questions.
Chairman. I don't have any questions for you.
I think you much covered it. Thank you for coming. It's good to see you all again.
Thank you.
Congressman Porter and his team have agreed to go ahead and take any questions from anyone in the public who would like to ask questions of it. Any takers?
If I don't know the answer, I'll make up something.
Anyway, well, Congressman, thank you for being here. In general, thank you for 41 years service to the military, this country, and Dan, for all you do. I know you do a lot, so thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to introduce Judge Bill Maddox, who's happened to sneak into the room here. And with that said, we're going to take about a 5-minute recess. Okay?